behind your disguise. It builds up inside until I have to blurt. Bullshit alert, yes, bullshit alert. It's bullshit alert.
Welcome to Bullshit Alert. I'm your host, Jeff Griggs. And as usual, I have a group of friends with me today, and I'm pretty sure they are all lying to me. If they're lying and I think they're telling the truth, I'm going to award them points. If they're telling the truth and I think they're lying, I'm going to award them points. If I guess right and they make me laugh, I'm going to award them points. Scoring system, as we discuss every week, is very complex. It's very precise, and it is available for you to study on our Instagram page, which is Bullshit Alert without the I. Is that also our Twitter? It's Bullshit Alert without the I?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And our email. You can email us at bullshitalert@gmail.com.
Don't tell them that.
We don't want emails. Yeah, don't true. Email us.
Please.
Too late.
Too late. Please send us your emails. Send Danny requests to buy his pins. Anything that you want, feel free to contact us in any of these locations. I have some friends with me today. Our first friend is Danny Marshall. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good. I'll find out about your week in a second. Sure. Lily, how are you?
Fantastic. Just trucking along.
Really? Because nothing that you said sounded fantastic or trucking along.
It's been a weird few weeks. Like working this job, it's like simultaneously not a stressful job, but then I'll get a text at like 7 p.m. that's like, okay, we need to find a hotel right now to film a breakup scene in, like you have 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's stressful and it's not stressful.
All right. Good to hear. Our special guest this week is Mr. Nate DeFord. Hi, Nate.
Hey, everybody. I am so stoked to be here, but even more stoked. And I don't know if the listeners know about this, to hear the backstory of that theme music that I am jamming along to super hard. I'm Whistle Stop Willie over here now, loving those jams.
You know, I don't think we've ever explained the story behind the theme song at all.
Well, I think your invitation to have me on the show is now an invitation to tell that story.
Yeah. How did we come up with the theme song? I think we had several. I actually know Danny invited someone to create a theme song. And then from out of nowhere, Lily came and said, my stepdad made one.
Yeah.
And then
we had it all set up and we were in touch with people. Our editor, Lucas, shout out to Lucas. And we had this whole thing set up. And then out of nowhere, Lily said, hey, this might be a little wrinkle.
My stepfather was like a professional whistler, a jingle maker, a tune knitter, I don't know. And he's very good at what he does. So I said, hey, I'll write up some lyrics for him. Just put these to music. And he did. And
you wrote the lyrics?
Danny, I wrote the lyrics.
I have not. I did not know that.
Yeah,
look what you've uncovered today, Nate.
I didn't know you were a lyricist. Wow, I have a little bit more respect for you now.
Yeah, and then I actually, with my roommate and good friend Alex, we were trying to like, I have zero pitch at all. Like I can't sing a note. So I was like, I want it to be like this, and I tried to sing it, and he was like, okay, that was all one note. I have no idea what you want. So I just sent it over to my stepfather, Fred, and he cooked it up.
We got this version back, and immediately we were all like, I think no notes, no notes. And then he tuned it up and we're done.
That was Alex's critique of me too. No notes.
No. Yeah. Okay.
And then Danny had to break it to the friends that he had invited to create the theme song.
Yeah. Are they still friends?
Barely. Yeah.
Well, he edits our podcast, but he does it for a profit. So you tell me.
Got it. And capitalism.
Right. And for spite.
Yeah.
Everything is done out of hate.
Yeah. He cuts all my jokes off mid-sentence.
That's fine, though.
Yeah, oh, exactly. That voice that you heard is our timekeeper and scorekeeper, and you'll hear him speak from time to time, but not a lot. Stephen, how are we doing on time?
We're good. I just felt like I needed to peek in and say we're almost at 5 minutes in. So, you know, take that for what you want.
All right. What's our scores so far?
Everyone's tied at zero so far.
Fantastic. Well, let's get things started. It is time for our first round. And our first round is, what is the weirdest thing that happened to you this week? So since he hasn't spoken at all, let's start with Stephen. Stephen, what was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
My wife's grandparents think that I wear a do-rag during coitus.
All right. Nate, no, what was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
Oh, we should have.
I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear anything. That's all I want to know. I've already made my judgment. I don't need for Stephen to expand.
We all know it's true, but I feel like we should throw him a bone.
Nothing. Nothing. He doesn't need anything. We've got it, every part of it. Nate, what was the most weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
All right. This is incredibly uncharacteristic of me, but my daughter, it's hot outside, wants to go swimming every single day, and she doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to leave the lake. So we were there about 2 hours, and, you know, I'm down in LaCroix or whatever I have there, and I peed in Lake Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You're not the first. It's also part of our drinking water for anyone who is taking a sip of any sort of H2O right now. How did it feel?
I mean, good, right? Like as you relieve yourself, you're deciding about, oh, the distance between me and, you know, hitting the restroom there at Foster Beach. It's not super far away, but am I really going to get out of the water after my body's acclimated to its temperature? No, I'm not going to go that far for it. So yeah, I'll say it's not something I'd ever really done before. It's probably not a big deal to most, but to me, I broke the seal.
Right. And you've never peed in a pool, never peed in a body of water ever before?
I mean, maybe prior to the age of 3 or 4, something I can't remember, but no, not in my life that I know of.
That's ridiculous. That's crazy. I've peed in every pool I've been in.
Wait,
Danny,
what?
Danny, I've been in your pool. I've definitely
peed. A lot. Oh, okay. Wait, you have?
I don't know. Who cares? There's chlorine. It's fine.
I've definitely peed in every lake and like ocean that I've been in.
Really? Stephen, have you ever peed in a pool?
Oh, yeah, a ton. I used to work at a pool. It was practically my pee.
Oh.
Interesting.
But like, Nate, do you pee in the shower?
You know, I feel like maybe once or twice. It's just, it doesn't ever occur to me.
Have you guys peed in the shower?
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Really?
I learned that people started doing it about like 2 years ago. And since then I've been doing it. But before that, I thought I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. No one else does this. And then I talked to somehow came up one day and everyone I asked was like, yeah, what am I, nuts? Of course. So I felt left out.
2 minutes into every shower, I have to pee. I'm not going to get out and pee. Like, that's ridiculous.
I mean, why don't you just delay the shower 2 minutes?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Or hold it. Yeah. So
it's fine. It's fine.
This is fascinating and interesting to me. I never heard of number one, people peeing in the shower until the Seinfeld episode.
Number one.
Yeah. I'd never heard until Seinfeld episode, and then that was pretty famous. And I remember turning to my roommate and laughing, going, can you believe that? That is so weird. And he said, you don't? And I just remember being startled by it and having a physical reaction of, what do you mean you don't? We use the same bathroom, the same shower. You pee in our shower? And he said, of course. And I moved out.
Wait, because of that?
Absolutely. I moved out. I moved out and got a new apartment, lived by myself for a couple years because I couldn't trust anyone. I had no trust that whoever I was going to live with was not going to pee in the shower. And then I married Jeannie and she does not pee in the shower. And so I've lived happily ever after. I can't believe three out of the four of you pee in the shower.
Jeff, if I ever come visit your house, I'm going to pee in your shower.
You're not invited. You're not invited, Lily. All right. Thank you for that, Nate. I will also say I've never peed in a lake or peed in a pool.
That I can't believe you moved. That moving is so intense. It's moving is a huge thing. And just because
it's a big pain.
He pees in your shower. Mm-hmm. Was it like literally you were like, oh, okay, cool. I'll be right back. I have to go check for open apartments right now, like in the middle of a conversation.
No, it was more stealth.
Oh, okay.
I just moved out.
he still thinks you guys live together.
Once that door is open, though, if you're going to pee in the shower, I mean, none of you think it's that big of a deal. Where else are you peeing? I kind of get what Jeff's saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The next night, stayed at my girlfriend's and then never went back. Never.
I'm sorry. I just want to check Nate's assertion that peeing in the shower is a gateway drug to peeing in other places in the house. What?
Possibly.
What? I'm not going to... What, piss on the couch? What?
Pee in the sink?
The gutters? Come on. A sink is very different.
Steven, what did you say?
So there's plants. There's a hole in the corner. There's, you know.
Steven, you peed everywhere. Oh, my God.
It's mine. It's my territory. It's mine. I can do what I want.
Steven, how are we doing on time?
We're doing great. We're just going to let really? This, we're going to let this ball roll.
All right. Lily, what is the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
So this is really a weirdest thing by proxy in that my partner, Sydney, flew to LA last week and has since gotten back. But it was her first time ever on a plane, which is already crazy enough. But when we were talking about this, I was like, you know, flying, it's pretty boring. You know, you just... You know, it's going to be like 5 hours of nothing. On the way there, she gets upgraded to first class. I've never been upgraded to first class. Ridiculous. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm, you know, three mimosas in. I'm feeling good. I was angry. On the way back, her flight had a medical emergency in the row behind her. A woman started having multiple seizures, and they had to land in Chicago on the way back. And luckily, she like used to work in healthcare and, you know, helped this woman and was like a really good asset to the flight attendants for this woman having a seizure. But she was upgraded to first class and had a medical emergency on the first two flights she ever took.
Ever? You aren't just saying that it's the first flight since the pandemic. This is the first flight ever?
Ever.
And she's from New York, right?
She is from Vermont.
Oh, so you just drive from Vermont to New York?
There's no airports north of New York City.
I guess that's true.
She had just never taken a plane? Yeah.
Wow.
Was she three mimosas deep when she was helping the woman or just on the first flight?
No, just in first class. They don't give mimosas to the commoners, the plebs.
To the plane doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's fascinating. And does it make her want to fly more?
I think it was an overall okay experience for her.
What airline did she fly?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably Delta, something like that.
Spirit. First class and Spirit.
First really class and Spirit is economy in any other airline.
Right. Yeah. Danny, what was the weirdest thing that happened to you this week?
I had a kind of crazy experience meeting a stranger at a bar at an airport.
Yeah? What was the experience?
I basically befriended this gentleman next to me and he started to buy me drinks and we kind of quickly became friends until I realized how drunk he actually was by the time I got there. So I was at a bar in the Denver airport, and I had a while to my flight. So I sit down and I sit down and sanitize my hands. And he's like, Hey, do you have, I forgot some, I have some. I'm like, yeah, sure. So he starts talking me up, and he asks what I do and where I'm going. And he's surprised that someone was flying to New York from Denver, which I should have. He's like, what are you doing here? I was like, vacation. What do you mean? Long story short, I'm asking him questions. He said he's from Chicago. So I said, oh, I could talk to him. You know, I have something to talk about. And I asked where he lived, and he said next to the Willis Tower. And I was like, okay. I was a little suspicious. Have you guys ever met anyone who's lived next to the Willis Tower?
I don't know
what would be going on there, but basically we're talking, and he suddenly is in love with me, and he gets another drink. And then next thing I know, he says to the bartender, can I get a shot of Jack Daniels? And the guy, classic airport upseller, goes, you want a double for $3.50 more? And he goes, sure. And one for my friend, without missing a beat. And I'm like, okay. And it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we get the double of whiskey, and he takes it in one gulp. And I go, I haven't eaten, so I'm going to enjoy this slowly. And then he ends up getting another double shot of Johnny Walker. And then he ends with Glenn McKellen 12 for some reason. And he's just constantly downing this stuff. And the conversation goes from how expensive it is to live next to the Willis Tower to then him admitting that he moved out to Aurora. And the biggest complaint we were trying to, you know, yeah, COVID, whatever. Oh, yeah, you need space. He's like, not just space. Sometimes if I just want to, you know, it's tough because I want to go to the garage in my building to jerk off. And I just couldn't go to my garage and jerk off. So now in Aurora, I have my own garage I can go to. And I just was like, what?
New fetish alert.
Garages? Yeah. I was floored. I had nothing to respond to except to keep drinking. And then he started pitching me his TV show ideas and this whole long thing. It was a clusterfuck.
Yeah, sounds like it. And so was he flying somewhere?
Yes. He was flying.
Where was he going?
He was flying to like Albuquerque. He was came from Chicago and apparently had been flying since 4 a.m. and had 4 flights canceled or whatever, went to LA, to South Carolina, to Denver, to end up in Albuquerque somehow. And apparently he'd been drinking. I had learned that he had been drinking all day at every airport since 4 a.m.
And are you still friends?
No, but I did take his phone, and he does follow our Instagram.
Because
he's like, oh, we should be friends on Snapchat. I was like, I'm okay. And then I said, I'll let him follow me on Instagram. And then I said, oh, I have a podcast. I don't think he remembers any of this. So I'm not too worried that my friend Chris is going to listen to this episode.
Well, I hope he's a listener now. And I hope that you become fast friends and you both jerk off in his garage. All right.
I have a follow-up question for Jeff on this. So yeah. You have a roommate that pees in the shower. You move out a day later. You have a roommate that jerks off in your garage. How do you respond?
Oh, well, it's not a gathering place for everybody. So I would be
But
right
your shower is?
Yeah, how many people gather in your shower?
Well, we both have been in there. I'm not going to go in the garage, so I'm fine. He can masturbate in the shower. He can masturbate in the shower. He can also masturbate in the garage. Just don't pee in there.
That's the weirdest take I've ever heard.
I know. That doesn't make any sense. There are more people in your garage, whether we're talking like a big garage or even a small garage. There's going to be more people in there than your shower.
It's true. All right, let's get a recap. So, Stephen, what is your recap?
My wife's grandparents think I wear a do-rag during coitus.
Great. Nate?
I peed in Lake Michigan.
Lily?
On my girlfriend's first 2 ever flights, she was upgraded to first class and then had a medical emergency.
Danny?
I got drunk with a new stranger at an airport bar.
Okay, here we go. Stephen, your story is true. Nate, your story is true. Lily? Oh, damn it. Lily, your story is bullshit. Danny, your story is bullshit. You get 5 points if you have convinced me and you have lied. Steven, is your story true or is it bullshit?
Bullshit.
Huh. Nate, is your story true or is it bullshit?
It is bullshit. I would never pee in a body of water ever since I heard there was a type of catfish in the Amazon that will swim into your urethra. I have been scared to piss in any body of water.
I am happy that you are getting these points, Nate. What a good friend. Lily, are you telling the truth or is it bullshit?
Not only would I pee in any body of water, my story was 100% true.
Whoa. All right. Danny, true or bullshit?
It is 100% true. I could not make up that jacking off in the garage thing. That's crazy.
All right. Well, Steven, what are our scores for the first round?
Everyone's tied with 5 points.
That means I got everybody wrong. And that is the end of our first round.
I'm very excited for our bonus episode one day where Steven gets to tell every one of his stories that he never gets to access.
I don't want to hear any of them. All right. It is our second round. And for our second round, it's time to play Meet Our Guest. I'm going to ask Nate 3 questions and Danny and Lily are going to try to guess if those questions are true or bullshit. So Nate, what was your worst experience in a car or with a car?
Okay, this is actually a really easy one for me. So I used to live in the suburbs of Detroit and worked at a bunch of Detroit theaters. I'm going to give a shout out to Planet Ant in Hamtramck, Michigan here. Coming home from a late night rehearsal or maybe the bar after a late night rehearsal, there was a little bit of slick. Maybe it was, you know, ice or something on top of the expressway. I'm driving back to the suburbs and get gently cut off by an SUV. By gently cut off, I mean they didn't do anything that put me in harm's way, but I did slam on my brakes and I skid into the wall, parallel with the wall. So very hard slam. My driver's side door and the entire driver's side of the car slammed into the Meridian. The nice thing is there were no other cars on the expressway at that time. So after I recovered, you know, caught my breath, let my heart slow down a little bit, I started driving. And I noticed almost immediately, about 2 minutes or so later, that every 2 minutes, my steering was going out. Now, I don't know anything about cars and why I can steer my car just fine for a few minutes, then for the steering wheel to just jerk to the right. And by jerk to the right, I mean I was driving up the grass embankment.
Oh, no.
Like at least 6-7 feet and then coming back down, being able to recover. And so I kept going, thinking like, well, there's no way that's going to happen again. But like I could set my watch to it every 2 minutes, my steering was going to go out. Now, I was in no way like in the bag. I'd had a beer or two, but it was late. And, you know, working 13, 14, 15 hour days with theater stuff. I was like, well, I don't want to call the police or something here. I think I can get home. Again, not knowing this is going to happen every 2 minutes. So this, what is normally a 15 to 20 minute car ride, took 35, 40 plus minutes. And I'm so surprised over the course of this time that I did not get pulled over. But I mean, I was driving up this embankment as if I was going to roll the car down it. That's how far up it would go as I would release this steering wheel. I got home just fine, made an insurance claim the next day. But it was 40 minutes of just terror in me thinking, I could hit someone else.
Right.
I could damage property. And, you know, there were
some. You could die.
Well, I could have. but, yeah, you know, I ended up getting home just fine. Thank goodness. But, yeah, that is the worst experience with an automobile I've ever had.
What time of year was it?
It was either December, like an early snow in December, or you know, a late snow like February, mm-hmm. March.
Mm-hmm. So the roads and pavement weren't used to it yet.
Exactly. And more importantly, I wasn't even used to it. I mean, I'm, you know, coming from Michigan, I'm a driver, you know, a little bit of snow and someone cutting me off isn't going to make me freak out.
Right. In Detroit, that's, you were all like born to be race car drivers. It's in everybody's blood.
All. Yeah, absolutely. Everyone. They give you a Model T right out of the womb.
Right. Now, did you ever find out why the steering was doing that?
I'm sure when we went to get the car repaired, they told me, and my lack of understanding of cars, it was just in one ear and out the other. I know literally nothing.
Ghosts. You got them ghosts in the steering wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. It was terrifying. Yeah, that's probably what they told me. They're just like, you got spirits.
that just happened into your car when you crash into a median. They just sort of take it over.
Yeah, they were hanging out.
What was the model of the car? Was it a Dodge, you know?
No, that was a Ford. It was a black Ford Taurus, probably like a 2002.
Okay. Ben in one. All right, Danny.
I don't, my heart has been racing this whole time he's been telling this. I'm just processing this and this is crazy. I don't have any questions.
It was terrifying. Truly, it came after the third or fourth time when the wheel would jerk. I just would take my hands off the wheel. Like, I literally cannot do anything to change the situation. Hands up.
See, and you'd go up onto the embankment every time.
Yep. And, every time.
And then you'd have to just kind of let off the gas and eventually come back down.
Exactly right. Yeah.
You were Jesus take the wheel way before Carrie Underwood understood what that phrase meant.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. That was question number one. Fantastic. Question number two, what was your best experience on a plane?
This one I'm actually excited to talk about because of Lily's story. So I used to travel a lot for work, a lot more than I do now. You know, Jeff was actually a big part of my travel. But before I was traveling, for Second City and doing the cruise ship stuff, we would travel for our business division a lot of facilitating of workshops and presentation skills and stuff. And I, as we're boarding the plane, and I did not see anyone board before us, but you know, first class will oftentimes board before you. And I love to sit in the back of planes. I don't know why. For me, there's just some safety that comes with that. There's no way it's the safest part of the plane, but it's just always kind of been a habit for me. Oh, sitting back for the bathroom, for me, you know, I'm not a small person. Being able to stretch out a little bit back there immediately, or stand up for as long as I can before I have to get in that seatbelt, it always kind of helped me. I'm called up, you know, one of the first people to board after first class, I'm assuming, if memory serves. So I'm walking back, and as I am walking through first class, I see someone with like a clean ponytail and like the most perfectly groomed beard ever and a white sports coat. And, you know, I'm just kind of walking. And then I do a little bit of a double take. I was like, oh my, I think I know who this, yeah, that's Don fucking Johnson on this plane. So wow. Don Johnson is on this plane from Detroit to Dallas, Fort Worth. And this would have been, I don't know, 2005, 2006 or so when I'm doing these workshops. So I go back and get in my seat. Now, I'm also incredibly lazy when it comes to signing up for any sort of like flight rewards, anything like that. I've since signed up for American because out of Chicago, 9 times out of 10, you're flying American domestically. But at the time, I wasn't signed up for anything. And I didn't buy my flight. The company I was working for bought my flight. So I never would have expected anything like this, the person I was co-facilitating this workshop with and myself, we had someone right after we sit down walk up to us and say, excuse me, gentlemen, Mr. Dufort, Mr. Hanley, we'd like to take you up to the front if you're interested in moving up to first class. Now, wow. This had never happened to me before. This is probably only like my 7th or 8th flight, you know, as an adult, like a working adult. So I was like, okay, we're going to move up there. You know, I get my bag, the only bag I had because it was just an overnight gig, and take it up to the front. And I am sitting next to Don Johnson is where they put me on this flight. I realize I'm taking a lot of time with this. So, you know, over the course of the flight, you know, I just give a couple nods or I'm looking over, but don't want to say anything, super respectful. And then I get that question that, you know, you inevitably get if you've got a chatty, you know, row partner. And that is like business or pleasure. And I say, oh, business, you know, I do comedy, little bit of an actor myself, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, we have like a very polite, but brief conversation. Cause I don't want to feel like I'm bothering, you know, Don Johnson at all. And then, he was like, well, and I forget how we got into it, but it was basically of just like, well, you know, like I'd love to be doing more. Obviously, I'm a little bit tied to the Midwest right now. Any advice? And he's like, well, I mean, you're doing stuff on camera. And he gives me this thing that I have never forgotten. He's like, well, there's this little thing that I do every time I'm in a movie, every time I'm on a TV show, you know, people will advise you against it, but I do one take. I pick one scene, one line, and I just look right down the barrel of the camera. And I was like, wait, that's your superstar move? That's the last thing you're supposed to do. And he swears by it that this is the thing that helped make him a star. So, you know, I thank him. We don't talk the rest of the flight. I think I even put like headphones in or something. We get off, you know, I say like, thanks, nice meeting you. Give a nice little bow. And we don't even really say goodbye. And that was it. That's the story. That is probably the most memorable time I've ever had on an airplane. Wow.
You never collected your miles?
Not until I moved to Chicago and started flying, you know, almost every single week did I start doing that. But when I still lived in Detroit and was doing like business theater stuff or the communications workshops, no. I mean, I knew it was a thing, but didn't think it was a thing relevant to like me or my life yet.
Well, what is the highest you ever got as like rewards? Gold?
No.
Platinum?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. That's higher than gold, you know.
Oh, then no. Oh, really? No, it was like I'm thinking through it, like trying to think about miles or what I got. Like, you know, I remember I didn't have to pay for bags, you know, or anything anymore. Like, so that was a thing. But, you know, again, I don't really pay attention to the reward stuff that much.
It's so important. I fly, or I used to fly a lot, doing a lot of business sort of facilitation, theater facilitation, and through touring and doing cruise ships and flying all over the world doing stuff like that. So I collected my miles. There was one point where I was almost at gold and I just bought a flight on New Year's Eve and flew from Raleigh or from Chicago to Raleigh just to collect miles so I would have gold for the next year.
I never did anything like that. In fact, like everyone tells me like, oh yeah, I got a free trip or free flights here or there. I've never used points for a flight ever. Oh. Ever. Not once.
I used mine to go to Japan.
Yeah. I know tons of people we worked with that use their flight, use it for everything. Yeah. Yeah. I've never used them. Never used them for a flight.
I think I've understood this episode is that I believe everything Nate says.
Good,
I think that's the recurring thing here. But
now you know what it feels like to be me because I trust everything all of you say, and it turns out that you're lying.
My question is, in the so the flight attendants or whoever, they knew your name. They
oh yeah,
on the manifest.
They sought you out because of your tickets.
I mean, they knew what seats we were in. So yeah, I remember it was just like, yeah, Mr. Dufort, Mr. Hanley. Yeah.
It's on the manifest.
Oh.
I listened to this podcast, Black Box Down, that's all about plane crashes. And actually, the back of the plane is by far the safest in the event of a crash.
Congratulations, Nate. Very smart.
I don't think I knew that. I do not think I knew that.
Don't pee in pools, don't pee in lakes, and you stay at the back of a plane. Very, very wise. Our third question. What is your most surprising experience on a boat?
All right. I'm going to tell this one a little bit faster because I am aware of the time.
Nate, there was a point where you thought that I thought that you were going long, and it was because my eyes went up, and it was all because I was thinking, is he lying? I know you think I thought you were going long, but it was just because I was sitting here going, I don't know. Is he lying? I don't know if this is true or not. So that's what it was. So you're fine. Okay. Most surprising experience on a boat.
Got it. I have so many. And the great thing about this was I had to try and think of one that I haven't shared with Jeff Griggs, because something that we do as we're on these cruise ships together is, you know, tell old war stories. But here's one. We used to be on these ships for extended periods of time. We would get to know the ship personnel, the people that worked on the ship. Does everybody know what a cruise director is or does? On a cruise ship, you know, they're, for the listening audience, they're kind of the mayor of the ship. They are the face of entertainment, and they relay, you know, what is going on aboard the ship. You're going from a party to an onshore excursion to a very special meal somewhere to a chocolate buffet. And this is the cruise director on there. But there's...
You're laughing, but the chocolate buffet is very important on the cruise ship.
It's a very big thing. You will see every fudgy fingered passenger just dipping anything and everything they can right into that chocolate fountain. Some of these cruise directors are characters. Like if you saw some of them in real life, you'd be like, oh yeah, they're a cartoon. You wouldn't believe that they actually existed, but they do. And there was a gentleman aboard a ship that invited myself and a director I was working with out for drinks, just so we could tell stories with each other, you know, tell those cruising war stories. And this is the story he told me. So these ships, some of them would port in Russia, which is very, very hard to visit. If you're going there as a tourist, you actually need to get papers that say that you're going there, the exact dates, when you're going, when you're leaving, and even be sponsored to be a tourist there. But when you're on a cruise ship, that kind of all happens automatically as long as you stay on these guided tours. You know, you can't wander around, but you'll go to gift shops, you know, you'll go see huge, beautiful palaces, you know, amazing, amazing things. And these cruise ships, you know, they're coming every single day into St. Petersburg, you know, which is just one of the most beautiful cities on earth. It's absolutely gorgeous. And like so many cities around the world, almost completely run by the mob. So this cruise director tells stories about how, you know, every time he takes passengers into this port, you know, they're going into gift shops that, you know, the money from these gift shops, and you're given vodka as you go in there. I remember just being handed Stoli that tasted nothing like Stoli vodka that we'd get here in the States. It was brilliant. It was amazing. But, you know, all of the money being made is going to the mob. And there was one time where he came ashore and two people pulled him out of line and said, "You're the one that brings people here. Come with us." So he gets put into the back of a car and he gets walked into a restaurant through the dining room, through the kitchen, into a back room that he said could be sealed like a vault if it needed to be. He walks back there and, you know, straight out of a movie, there's a single man sitting behind a desk with armed guards on either side of him. And he kind of repeated what the men had said outside. Are you the one that brings everyone here and buys our stuff? What do you want? And this cruise director, you know, his mind is racing. Like, am I about to get whacked? What's going on? And so, you know, the guy behind the desk repeats it. What do you want? A reward for bringing everyone here. What do you want? Wow. Oh. Can I get you a girl? He's like, well, no, I mean, no, I can't do that. A boy? Well, no. I mean, I can't. Anything you want. Name it. He's like, well, I really like those flak jackets, like a bulletproof vest that one of the guards is wearing. He's like, okay, when are you back here? 12 days. I'm back in 12 days. My men will meet you. You'll get one of these. So in 12 days, they're back to this port. The same guys in the car meet him and hand him a box. And that's it. That's all he hears about it. So this guy went from thinking he was going to get whacked to getting a gift, thanking him for bringing all of this money into the Russian mafia. Now, there were a lot of other stories, a lot more sus that were being shared, you know, over this single beverage. We were there for one drink. And then this guy said, oh, I should tell you about the time I went to Cambodia and shot a machine gun in the killing fields. You know, genocide. Like, this thing is just like, what? But yeah, this guy wasn't a cruise director, as far as I know, too much longer after I heard this tale.
Holy smokes.
So that is one of the most unexpected things that's ever happened to me on a ship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Was it Don Johnson?
It was not Don Johnson, okay, but
the story might be true.
He did shred crazy guitar in a band that his own band that played on this thing. No one paid them to do this. This was just a thing this cruise director did.
My most unexpected happening or thing that happened on a ship was when Nate and I were in Hawaii and we took Nate to play tennis. And Nate, you had shorts, but you didn't have like a t-shirt or a top. So the bottom of you was in shorts, but dress shoes and a suit jacket. And you played tennis in that outfit. That's my most surprising experience on a cruise ship.
Not very well. I remember that specifically because Brett Lyons was making fun of how I was playing while I'm wearing, you know, penny loafers or something. And I was just like, well, the other thing, Brett, is I played tennis when I was 12 and haven't since. And you're playing every day. Like, this is like taking candy from a baby. Like, you should be good. If you weren't, I'd be making fun of you. Those were very fun trips.
Yeah, they were. They were amazing.
What did this guy, the cruise director, look like? Or if there, speaking of Don Johnson, if there was an actor that could portray him in a movie accurately, who would it be, just to get an image of him?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thanks, Jeff.
I would say Steven. And the reason I'm saying this, this guy always wore a do-rag.
Ah, okay. All right.
That said, he was thin and looked like an aging bar rocker, a guy that plays in a cover band at the townie bar in every like small town across America.
You just described Steven. That is perfect. Yeah. That is perfect.
I like the Russian mobster who is slightly progressive, saying, do you want a boy? I mean, it's probably a sex trafficked boy, but
100%.
Flak jacket. I feel like if you're you get like a once in a lifetime opportunity. You say like, oh, can I have like 80 pounds of cocaine, please? Mm-hmm. Like,
how would he wouldn't get back on the boat though.
It's international. Yeah, that international waters. What are they going to do?
But not an international company. The company could fire him or let him off in that port. I feel like I would have shit the bed in that situation too. With nerves running that high, I mean, I can't imagine what I would have asked for.
Just dinner to go, please.
Right.
Yeah, do you guys have a Chili's too here? Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's do a quick recap and we'll get your verdicts on what you think is true. Nate, what was the worst experience with a car?
Car I could not steer.
All right. Danny, do you think that's true or bullshit?
I fully believe that. Yeah.
You believe it, Lily? Uh-huh. True or bullshit?
I believe all these. Yeah, I believe it.
All right, I'm going to ask Steven just because I care what Steven thinks, but you don't get any points for it. Steven, is that true or bullshit?
I mean, I've had some terrible experiences in cars just like that, so I'm going to say it's true.
All right. Nate, you get 10 points if you have fooled them, and they get 10 points if they have guessed correctly. So, Nate, was that true or bullshit?
100% true.
Yeah, it just seems so true. There's no,
yeah.
It was just so relatable and terrifying. And every time you said it, we were like, oh no, oh no.
I was like, can we pause recording? I have to get my anxiety meds, please.
Question number two, your best experience on a plane, and I'll just finish it for you. It was meeting Don Johnson, sitting next to him and getting the key to acting.
100% changed my acting career. In that, it dead ended it.
Yeah. You were a rising star up until that moment. And then you won't stop looking right at the camera. Lily, is that story true or is it bullshit?
True. Yeah, true.
Danny, true or bullshit?
Going to say bullshit.
Steven, true or bullshit?
True.
All right. Nate, is that true or bullshit?
I am sorry to say the only thing true about that story is how poor I am with flight points. That was completely bullshit.
Go.
And I'll tell you that story about Don Johnson looking down the barrel of the camera. Will Arnett told that on an episode of Smartless. That part is true. Did not tell it to me.
That's funny. Very funny. Very nice. And our most surprising experience on a boat. Nate, what was your most surprising experience on a boat?
A conversation with a cruise director who told ridiculously amazing stories about what happened to him with the Russian mafia.
Steven, is that story true or bullshit?
Bullshit. He got something else. He got bananas or something.
All right.
He chose bananas.
Bananas. Danny, true or bullshit?
Bullshit, but he didn't choose bananas.
Okay.
So something better, like guava or something.
Lily, true or bullshit?
True. It's true.
All right. Lily did believe everything that you said, Nate. Is that story true or bullshit?
100% true.
I could have told you it's 100% true. When you're on a ship and you have a cruise director, they get involved with a lot of weird things all over the place. Absolutely true. Great. Danny, you were going to ask a question?
No, I was going to say, why didn't you tell us if you could have told us?
Because you deserve to discover these things on yourself. I can't.
Okay. No. This is a growing experience for me. Thank you.
It is. I can't foster your whole life for you. You need to learn who to trust and who not to trust. And when it comes to stories about cruise directors, just always believe they're true because they most likely are.
100%.
And that is the end of our second round. The final round is an all play. It is called Who, What, Where. Before you start your story, you're going to tell me and you're going to say, these are my who, these are my what, these are my where. And then you are going to tell your story. And I have to figure out what part of your story is true or bullshit. So I have to figure out which is the bullshit part of your story. Is it the who, is it the what, or is it the where? Danny, what are your who, what, where's?
My who is my college girlfriend, my what?
Bullshit.
My what is spit takes, and my where is the parking lot of Boston Market.
Okay, go ahead. What's your story?
So in college, along with a lot of my friends, Lily was the primary one here, we started a sketch comedy group, and we had our first show in the spring semester of our sophomore year. And there was a sketch in there in which we had to do, you know, sketch comedy, college sketches. We do all types of gimmicks, and one in which that I had to do spit takes, and I'd never done a spit take. Also, at the same time, I am not yet dating my soon to be girlfriend, but we're hanging out a lot and spending time together and whatever. So it is the day of our show. We had one show for this first one, and we needed to grab a quick bite before the first show, and we were hanging out. So we went to Boston Market, which is, you know, right, not that far off of campus, next to our local Schnucks of our grocery store in St. Louis. And we go and we are having dinner and we're talking about and
what. Can I just interrupt you to say all Schnucks are local?
That's fair. That's fair. Oh, I went to the Schnucks in my other Schnucks in Beijing.
Okay.
And we were talking about the show and how exciting it was. And I was just saying how, you know, I'm really nervous about these spit takes that we didn't, you know, we didn't do them in rehearsal because we were short for time. We had really late nights. We were just constantly running stuff. I'm really nervous. I know it's a spit take, but I've never actually done a spit take. She's like, really? It's not that hard. It's just spitting. So long story short, we finish our lovely Boston Market meal and are in the parking lot and just doing spit takes, spitting all over each other, trying to practice and excel at a spit take for the show. And it was a really, really sincere moment between the two of us that we shared that really was like, I really like spending time with this person moment that you're like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And it was that moment where I was like, oh, this is more than just, you know, hanging out with someone.
Okay. And did you order anything at the Boston Market?
Do I order any? Of course I ordered something at Boston Market.
What did you get?
Well, you got to get the chicken pot pie because that's the best thing on the menu.
What did your girlfriend get at the Boston Market?
Like a quarter of chicken and like three sides. And then we split the sides and I had my pot pie because it's amazing.
Okay. All right. Did you say what the play was that you were doing?
No, it was our first sketch comedy show.
Ah, your first sketch comedy show. Okay. What was your funniest sketch in that show?
My funniest sketch in that show, I did a show and don't tell sketch about what kids should bring and show and don't tell. And they just brought significantly worse things to bring, like a dead animal. And then it was ended up being a paper bag full of loose fruit punch was the button. And they had to guess that it was fruit punch, but it was constantly leaking.
Okay. That's pretty funny. I'll take that.
Funnier. It was funnier than, yeah.
No, I think it's pretty funny. That's a good bit. We'll keep it in the show. Lily, what is your who, what, where?
So the who is two separate people that I dated at different times. The what is introducing them to each other, and then they started dating. And the where is New York City.
All right. Go ahead. What's your story?
I dated this girl, Lynn. And, you know, we dated for probably like 3 or 4 months and then things just didn't really work out. So we broke up and then I started dating this other girl, Tori, and we had an open relationship at the time and she was looking on a dating app and saw my ex and she was like, huh, this person is cool. And I was like, all right, like, yeah, it's this person. I know them. I dated them. You know, I don't have a problem with you pursuing them, that's totally fine. That was my first mistake. And so they eventually met and like started hanging out. And I actually started hanging out with both of them again. And it was like, you know, just fun times, whatever. Like not in that way, Danny. We were getting along, and they were getting along much very, very well. And eventually I broke up with Tori, and they immediately started dating each other. So that's my story.
And do you still talk to them?
Oh, no, no. They're terrible, terrible people. I hope they're listening.
Do you think they're happy together?
I hope not. Truly, both of them are the only two people who I've dated who, after dating them, I was like, I'd never really want to see either of them again. They're terrible. And not because they started dating each other. I was okay with that. It was just like, they were just horrible people. And I made the right decision breaking up with both of them.
I don't know if you are okay with them dating each other.
I really, they deserve each other.
Are they still together?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
We should probably call both of them individually and ask.
We need to look this up. Yeah. We should find out. Nate, what is your who, what, where?
All right. My who is Bret Michaels from Poison. My what is Dance Dance Revolution. And my where is Super Bowl 40 in Detroit.
Oh, all right. What's your story?
All right. So, unfortunately, this is another work story. We were hired to do a Super Bowl event. And it was supposed to be a comedy event. And we were... Super Bowl 40 was the Steelers and... Oh, I can't even remember right now.
Was it Green Bay?
No, I don't think it was Green Bay. Bret Michaels was a Steelers super fan, I guess. And I don't know why I remember that. But so Bret Michaels was there and was going to be doing like the party, like facilitating from the stage, doing like a single song. And then us sketch comedians in the audience would be at a game of DDR, and we were going to battle Bret Michaels for this, you know, for whatever the prize was at this party or whatever. And then we get there on the day, everything's fine. We do a tech, still no Bret Michaels, like, oh, he's not going to run things with you. He's just going to come out. We're going to play it by ear. You'll see. He's great. We get out there and our comlinks aren't working. Like our tech isn't working. We're talking to him in his ear. Our mics aren't going over the system. So completely gets blown off. And he's just like, well, fuck it. If we're not going to do it, then fuck it. And we never do the bit that we're there for. So we go, you know, we're backstage 6 hours, our 15 minutes. It was literally a 15 minute gig comes, and we don't even end up doing the thing that we're out there for. He just moves on to the next thing in the running order. And, you know, I was producing and directing that thing. I go over and talk to the client, which is like, okay, gang, we're released. And that's it. That's the story.
Hilarious. All right. Was the bit funny? I mean, that's the main thing that I have to ask.
No, it truly didn't make any sense. I don't know why we were there. Anyone could have been doing this. I think they just wanted people that could, you know, if something funny happens, be able to comment on it. But, you know, even the beat sheet that we came up with that the client loved didn't say anything. It was just sample language. This is what could happen. So, no, I mean, it wasn't funny on paper and probably wouldn't have been funny if we actually went through with it.
Okay. All right.
Was this Bret Michaels after winning The Apprentice and he just had a smugness to him?
Question. That's a good question. Which because he was pretty huge at that time.
Yeah.
I mean,
he had T named after him.
I had no idea. So I knew he was a reality star at that point. I didn't know if it was something from The Apprentice. This would have been 2006, I believe.
I think that's pre-Celebrity Apprentice.
It might be because I think
that might have been why he was there, why he was relevant to be at a Super Bowl party of this size. You know, there were a few thousand people there.
All right, let's do a quick recap. Danny, what were your who, what, wheres?
My college girlfriend spit takes at Boston Market and the parking lot of Boston Market.
Okay, 30 points if I get yours wrong. I think your bullshit response is the Boston Market.
The truth? Is that what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. No, that was definitely a Boston Market. It was not my girlfriend. It was our good friend, Harley Green, who was a friend of ours who was this one of the stage managers and did all the tech and props and every basically made the show possible. And we had a tradition of going to Boston Market before every show because it was the closest thing, and we got there early. And he just made me practice spit takes on him, and we just spat all over each other for a half hour.
I should have trusted my instincts. I knew you didn't have a college girlfriend. I should have gone with that the whole time.
Just a quick shout out to Harley. The one time I was ever in a car with him, he ran a stop sign in front of a cop and immediately got a ticket in his roommate's car. That's all I want to say.
We were both in the car and it was great. Shout out to Harley. Big fan of the show. We love
Harley. Good for Harley. Harley, send us an email. Lily, can you give us a recap? What were your who, what, where?
Who is two girlfriends? What is them dating each other after dating me? And the where is New York City?
I think New York City is your bullshit contribution.
Yeah, it was Chicago, and it was more recent than New York City. This was I have some interesting stories about them that I don't think I can tell on this podcast. They were ridiculous people.
I could tell through the pain.
There was so much hatred. Yeah.
Yeah. It couldn't have happened in New York because New York's the city of love. So it had to happen somewhere else. Nate, what is your who, what, where?
Bret Michaels. The what is Dance Dance Revolution, and the where is Super Bowl 40 in Detroit, Michigan in 2006.
This one's tough. This is tough because there's so many parts of this that I believe to be true. I believe Dance Dance Revolution is your bullshit contribution.
Wrong. It was not Bret Michaels. It was Tom Arnold.
That's even better. That's even better because you could tell he would be an asshole in a situation like that.
Yep.
Bret Michaels is so cool.
My God.
Every rose has a thorn. That man understands comedy. He understands timing. So he would not sell you out at all.
And I almost pooched it earlier because when asked what that cruise director looked like, if I had to name one person in the world, it would have been Bret Michaels.
That's hilarious. Hilarious. All cruise directors also look like Bret Michaels.
And a little bit Steven, like Tom Arnold.
It's true. It's very true. Steven, can you give us an update on our score and who our winner is?
We came into round three with everyone tied at 25, and we end round three with Nate and Danny tied at 55 in first place.
We have co-champions for this episode. I
love it.
Yeah, have we ever had co-champions?
We did with Emma Pope.
Oh, right.
Emma Pope and I. Oh, Emma. I won a game with Emma.
That's right. Oh, so right. We have had co-champions.
But that's the episode we all forgot about because
Danny, I know that you are terrified right now that I'm going to have a tiebreaker.
Yeah, I'm so scared.
To keep you from being champion.
Oh, I'm fidgeting over here.
I'm still thinking about it. Nate, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
I sure do. So for any parents out there listening, I created or co-created two shows for middle graders, podcasts. The first one is Unspookable. It looks at the science, the history, and the social dynamics behind myths, urban legends, and scary stories. And then Reach, a space podcast for kids, which is exactly what it sounds like. But when is this going to be released? You know,
probably October.
Great. I will say that by then, Reach was just invited by NASA to do what I believe to be a first, a live interview with astronauts from NASA and the European Space Agency aboard the International Space Station.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. So we've interviewed some astronauts before and have, you know, just an amazing relationship with NASA. Everyone there is so cool. They just asked us to take part in this, which I believe is a first for a podcast of any kind. And then finally, I co-created a horror comedy podcast with one of my best pals from back in Detroit, Adam Peacock. It's called My Neighbors Are Dead. We interview, in huge quotation marks, tertiary characters or characters that did not exist in actual horror films. And recent guests have been amazing. We've had Randy Havens from Stranger Things, a great Atlanta-based improviser. Katie Featherston from the Paranormal Activity franchise. And Matt Gourley from so many Earwolf shows and Conan show. It's a great show for comedy fans.
And you just got written up in a big article.
Oh, in The Guardian for, Guardian. For My Neighbors Are Dead. Yeah, so the shows are doing, you know, pretty well as far as the press reception on those. Yeah.
I actually, Nate, you and I were, so we've kind of referenced it a little bit. Both Nate and I worked for the same theater company, and we have traveled together doing cruise ships, and I was director on a touring company, and Nate was my boss for that. And so we spent a lot of time together, and on one of the cruise ships you and I were on that I was directing, I remember being in maybe Bermuda and you telling me your idea for that podcast and said that you were going to start doing it. And now it's really popular and done really well. And so I feel responsible for that a little bit.
Well, almost 100%, because I will also say one of the first podcasts I was ever on as an interview subject was with Jeff, Jeannie, and Brett Lyons with our good friend Matt Craig.
Yeah, the Thursday Evening Movie Club. We used to take all these movies from the AFI and review them. And yeah, you guys were on it. Do you remember the movie that you helped review?
I don't.
And because you don't, Danny loses 10 points.
What? I just thought that was one. Oh my God.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to exciting. Bullshit Alert.
Thank you for listening to our bullshit on Bullshit Alert. Thank you to our guest, Nate DeFort. You can follow Nate on Twitter and Instagram at NateDeFort. To listen to more of Nate's creations, check out Reach the Podcast, The Unspookable Podcast, My Neighbors Are Dead, The Big Loop, and I'm sure there's a lot more, so just follow him to get the scoop. On behalf of Jeff Griggs, Lily Moss, and Danny Marshall, I'm Stephen Carter. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bullshit Alert. No, I. Like, share, and tell your friends about this show. Edited by Lucas Marshka. Theme music by Fred Stark. Check him out at fredstarkmusic.com and Spotify.